You may have realized by now, after going through Mission Impossible up here and hearing what's been said, that we're on this theme of sending out the workers into the field on mission. Is this too loud? Okay. And so today, because I felt before we really get into reaching out, we probably need to go through some kind of orientation and equipping time. You know, if you sign up for a course, you go and you get all sorts of sheaf of papers and you get a little badge thing and you get watch videos and get equipment to do the job. And I thought, this is the biggest thing we will ever do, is reaching out. Now, it might be just to the people next door or to your aunt June, who doesn't know the Lord, but it's reaching out in mission. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of a frightening and overwhelming responsibility. The mission of God, which was to bring all his people back to himself. And if you didn't hear Barry's sermon last week outlining what God's mission really is, I really would advise it. Listen to that on the internet and hear his vision and God's vision for his people. It's a bringing them back. God has sent the rescue mission. He sent Jesus. And now he wants to bring his people back. And we are his people. And so it's up to us. So I don't know how you feel about that, but it sort of makes my knees knock together because I'm not very good at going talking to other people. Like, you know, "Hi, brother, have you met the Lord?" kind of evangelism is really something that's very uncomfortable in me. So I thought maybe today we should look at what we can do to equip ourselves for going on a mission. Now, some of our good people here went on a mission just a few weeks ago, so people like Mike and Chelsea and Tan and Karis will know exactly what you have to do when you prepare for a mission. So what was the hardest thing, eh, Mike? I bet part of it was taking the bag and packing it up. Like when you're going on a trip, especially somewhere far off, you have to take a bag and be sure that everything in your bag is really useful, will come in handy in an emergency. You know, we women have been carrying bags around for years. When I was about 16, you went out with a little purse, and Mum always said, "Now, have you got money in it for the bus fare home in case you need to come home in a hurry?" And I always would call it mad money. And you notice even the Queen, when she goes out, she's got this little handbag purse on her arm. Have you noticed that? And I don't know, what would the Queen keep in her purse? Like a Band-Aid, a Tums in case she eats too much rich food. You know that her ladies-in-waiting are going to give those to her. So maybe the Queen has that bag full of goodies just to give her some self-confidence that she can look after herself and handle any situation. And I think that's what we want in our bag, in our pack, as we go out on this mission. I noticed when Kayla and Bobby come in, about a year and a half ago, they would come through the back door there and they'd be young and free and they'd be waving their arms around and greeting people and doing crazy stuff. Now you watch Kayla come in. She's down on one side like this and she has this humongous bag on her shoulders and it has diapers and cream and safety pins maybe. I don't know if you still use those. And bottles and changes of clothing. Because she's now responsible for someone other than herself. And she wants to be sure that in her bag, she has everything that is necessary for the time that she's away with her little one. And I love to see dads carrying those diaper bags too. And men, I think you carry them with you too. We women have all kinds of stuff in our purses, and we won't go into that. But I think men in their back pockets, they often carry a lot of odds and ends. I know once I got a coughing fit in church and I was sitting next to Susan and Ron fished in his back pocket and he gave me a cough candy. It was perfect. And he was there for the emergency. He had what was needed in that situation. So what kind of bag would we pack to go on a mission trip to win souls, to bring people back to God and let them realize that He loves them and that He wants them to be His people as He created them to be? And I thought about this and I wondered what we would pack. Because we want to be completely in control. We want to know that in an emergency, we could just put our hands into that bag and bring out the right answer, the right quote, the right story, the right Kleenex to wipe a tear. And then I realized that maybe the lady that we're going to watch now in a short clip had the perfect bag. This lady was on a mission. She had a mission to go and help a family that was not really functioning very well. And she was considered an expert. And so she was called for to come and help the family. And she had a really good bag. I want you to check that out. Thanks, Tim.
Hey, the nursery isn't very tidy.
It is rather like a bear pit, isn't it?
That's a funny sort of bag.
Carpet.
You mean to carry carpet, too?
Nope, made of.
This is your room, and there's a lovely view of the park.
Well, it's not exactly Buckingham Palace. Still, it's clean. Yes, I think it will be quite suitable. Just needs a touch here and there. Well, first things first. I always say the place to hang a hat is on a hat stand. This will never do. I much prefer seeing all of my face at the same time.
But there was nothing in it.
Never judge things by their appearance. Even carpet bags. I'm sure I never do. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. A little more light, perhaps.
We better keep an eye on this one. She's tricky. She's wonderful.
Much better. Now, let me see. I always carry it with me. It must be here somewhere.
What?
My tape measure.
What do you want it for?
I want to see how you two measure up. Oh, that's the funniest thing I ever saw. I know it's on this one. Here it is. Good. Come along, then. Quickly. Head up, Michael. Don't slouch. Just as I thought. Extremely stubborn and suspicious.
I am not.
See for yourself.
Extremely stubborn and suspicious.
Suspicious. Now you, Jane. Rather inclined to giggle, doesn't put things away.
How about you?
Very well. Hold this for me. As I expected, Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way.
Would be wonderful to have a bag like that at any time, visiting a really difficult person or someone who just does not want
every
to believe
job that must be done.
We could pop
there
things
ever.
Out. Have we got competition? But I guess that kind of bag isn't easily available. So maybe we should look and see what the Bible says about the bag we should be carrying. What should we put in our bag? There must be a list somewhere. And I must admit, I found it in Luke chapter 9. Exactly the situation we're talking about. Jesus sending out people on a mission. And I'm having to read it with large print, if you don't mind. I'm getting really old, so I'm not reading from my Bible. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's what we're talking about. This must be it. We'll find out now what to put in our bag. And he told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Well, that didn't sound anything like a Mary Poppins bag to me. So I went on to chapter 10, and it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful. Just what Terry was saying. The Lord wants to move. The Lord wants to bring his people in. But Jesus said, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It's what we want to do. That's the mission. But he said, go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. So really, we're going out to do this incredibly important mission to tell others of the love of God. We take nothing with us. Our purses are where we keep our feeling of security and inadequacy. How do we feel when there's nothing in our hands? Pretty scary. We know that God will provide. He is faithful. And it is his mission that we're going on. So I guess we need to trust him. I thought of two people. Or two stories about people who trusted God in situations that were really a little bit frightening. The whole mission starts really with Abraham, if you remember the sermon from last week, when God chose Abraham and called him and promised him that his children and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and that they would be God's people. And that's why we are here. And God did miracles in Abram's life, and he gave him a son in his old age. But then there was a place in Genesis 22 where God called Abraham and he said, I want you to take your son Isaac, whom I've given to you, and I want you to take him up the mountain and sacrifice him. And Abraham, can you imagine how he felt? He said, yes, Lord. And he went and he got Isaac and he got some wood and he got the fire and he got his knife and he left with the little boy. But he didn't take a lamb. He didn't take the bag. He just trusted God. And they went up the mountain and little Isaac began to realize there was something wrong. And he said, Father, We have the sticks, we have the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide the lamb. And the Lord did provide a lamb. He provided a lamb for us. And in this case, he provided a lamb for Abraham because he got that little boy right up onto the altar. And the voice of the Lord said, stop. I can see how much you love me. I can see that my mission, I think, is safe with you. Everything was depending upon Abraham. And the Lord was faithful, and he did provide. And there in a thicket, very conveniently close by, was a ram that they could sacrifice to the Lord. Abraham believed. He didn't take the bag with all his own stuff. He didn't complain. He didn't take the lamb, hoping it would be useful. He trusted God. The other story is about a couple that you all know, or most of you probably know very well, and some of you are even related to. Those of you who know Tanya and Trevor Wickens will recognize some of this story. They told it to me years ago. And last week I was in Quality Foods and the Lord put Tanya right in the aisle there in front of me so that I could ask her to confirm it. Could we just keep that door shut? Tanya and Trevor years ago were told by God very clearly that he wanted them to go to Kelowna, to go to college and do a course in Bible study, and I believe it was prophecy. And they knew, really knew that God was sending them. But they were very poor. And they had two little ones at that stage. Our Anna was just a little wee girl at that time. But they knew that God was sending them. So they gave all their household goods away to somebody who needed it, and they went to Kelowna. And they got there, and it was the place to register, and they got all the material, but they had no money. And the registration form proved that it was quite an expensive course, and they would have to live there while they were going to school. And they waited, and it came to the day before the registration, and they shared with some people around them that they were just convinced that God wanted them to be in that course. So the next morning, they got up, and they got into the lineup, but they had no money. They had no bag with them. Their purse literally was empty. And just before it was time for them to stand in great embarrassment and say, well, we're here, but, you know, what would you say? Somebody came up to them that they had known and presented them with a check and said, the Lord wanted me to give this to you, but he told me to wait until today. And that covered their registration and their costs. And they went through that course. They trusted God. They didn't try packing a bag. They didn't run out and hold out a tin can and say, can you help us? We really need to go through this. They didn't try to do anything other than trust God. Abraham called the mountain, the Lord will provide. And I think as we go out on this mission, whatever you agree to do, whatever your commitment is, if you write out a little slip that says, I'm going to speak to my brother who doesn't know the Lord, remember to do it without a bag. Remember to do it and let God provide. Let him make the time. Let him give you the words. Let him show you what to say. Isaiah 46 says, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. I think Tanya and Trevor felt rescued at that last minute. Their God was faithful. I came across a really beautiful poem, and I hope it speaks to you as it did to me. One by one he took them from me, all the things I valued most. Until I was empty-handed, every glittering toy was lost. And I walked earth's highway, grieving in my rags and poverty, till I heard his voice inviting, lift your empty hands to me. So I turned my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with a store of his own transcendent riches, so I could contain no more. Then at last I comprehended, with my simple mind and dull, that God could not pour his riches into hands already full. As the hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Naked come to you for rest, for dress, restless come to you for rest. We don't need a bag. We've established that. That's the first part of the workshop. And we can rest assured we don't need to take a backpack. We don't need to pack it full of necessary items. We just have to remember our God is able. And if it's his mission and he's sending us, he will provide. But I noticed something else about travelers, and this just came to me yesterday. You know, you see young people going around with their backpacks on their back. Always in one hand, they have a cup. Have you noticed that? It's a paper cup, kind of paper. And I wonder how many of us this morning, if we're taking a trip to Courtney, don't go via the drive-through at Timmy's or Starbucks or wherever else you get good coffee. It's become part of our uniform almost. We walk around, phone in one hand and a nice hot cup in the other hand, especially if we're going on a journey. We have to be equipped. And I thought about this. And I thought, this is part of us. It's part of what we need. How do we go out on a mission with a cup in our hand? And for months now, God has been giving me this particular verse. And I was planning to use it this morning and in a different vein and then realized we were talking about mission. But God is so good. It belongs. It belongs. God has a cup for us and it has our name on it. And I think God spells our names correctly every time. And maybe in Deborah, this is for you. I thought about this morning. God sometimes has the right name on the cup for us and who we are in him. And I think, you know what I mean by that. God has a cup for us. And he says this, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, who've left your bags behind, who've checked your bags in at the door, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost, because it's being paid for. Come, all you who are thirsty. If we're really thirsty, water is really the only answer. Timmy's and Starbucks don't fulfill that need. And God gives us pure, clean water to take away the thirst. And we wash ourselves in it, and it fills us up, and it gives us new life. He gives us water for life in the cup. He gives us milk. And you know, we do have to grow. Bobby and Kayla have learned that little ones grow and need to be fed constantly. And we need to be constantly fed and we need the milk of God's teaching and experience. We need to be with other Christians and share with them. We need to read his word. We need to listen to him in prayer. We need to hear his voice. We need to be aware of the Spirit just filling us up and making us stronger and stronger every day. He gives us water and he gives us milk. And he gives us wine. Wine is symbolic of joy and celebration. That's what we do when we want to party and have a wonderful time. And God gives us wine in our cup to take with us on the journey. He wants us to delight in him, to rejoice in him, and to celebrate what he's given us. If we go out on our mission, and we're speaking to others about God's love, and we have no joy, I don't think that message is going to really penetrate. We have to have the joy of the Lord in everything that we do. Rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, says the psalmist. So we have no bag, but we do have a cup. And it's filled to the brim with his water and his milk and his wine. And it fills us up and it builds us up and it washes us and it gives us this joy and pleasure, this incredible satisfaction in knowing who God is. Isaiah 55 says, you will go out in joy on your mission. You will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. Isn't that fantastic? When you go around the corner to visit Auntie Mary and tell her about the Lord, and the mountains and the hills are bursting into song because you're going to spread God's word with joy. and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Like, yes, hey. Now we would be equipped and be ready to share. With our burdens of self-reliance just left at the door and our cup from the Lord in our hands, we can go on that mission impossible. Maybe today we can commit ourselves in those little cards to just trust Him and just take the opportunities He puts in our way and become missionaries and speakers of the word and joyful, joyful heralds of what's to come. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and spread the gospel. I thought we might have to get really all geared up for it, but we don't. We've got everything we need, and he's sending us out. And I just pray that each one of us will find some place that we can go and be on a mission for him and bring his people to him. Amen.